I was raised a Christian. I'm a husband, father, grandfather. I'm a retired United States Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel. Grew up on a farm in Iowa. I have a Master of Science degree in Mechanical Engineering and a BS degree in Epidemiology. I was a Honeywell Launch Guidance Controls Engineer on the shuttle program. I was the Engineering and Operations and Biosafety Manager for North Colorado Medical Center, the Engineering Operations and Environmental Health and Manager for Hewlett-Packard. I was the International Customs Finance Manager for Hewlett-Packard, Engineering Operations Manager for the Infectious Disease Research Center in Colorado State University, same job title for the Vector-Borne Disease Research Center in Fort Collins, Colorado, and I'm currently the happy owner of Happy Trails Pet Spa and Resort in Loveland, Colorado, where we take care of dogs.
That's a perfect backdrop for what we're about to enter, because the last thing you said is probably a whole lot nicer than the dark winter thing we're going to be talking about.
That's right. So what is dark winter and how is it used in 2020? This is the format, and this is actually some of the slides from the presentation. How is it used? The outline for treason. Is it a primer for the next steps? As we go into this, there are several pages that shows links to television videos. When we attended the meeting in Oklahoma City, they already had taken professional media personnel, television personalities, and created a whole bunch of videos announcing all of the issues that were going along with the promulgation of the dark winter. So this was all prepared for us. When we got there for the meeting, they said, we're going to study what would happen, but they had already done the study and what they wanted to develop and to communicate out to the public what it was. And the next slide shows that this is the original slide set. This is the original slide set. And you can see, on the bottom, the attendees included, it was Andrews Air Force Base in 22nd, 23rd of June. The Center for Civilian Biodefense is no longer an active organization. It is part of Homeland Security. ANSWER, Institute of Homeland Security, was converted to Homeland Security after 9/11. Yeah. CSIS was a biological study group. And American Soil, it's a funding group.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this
entire event took place about a half a year, four or five months before 9/11.
Exactly, and when 9/11 happened, they were getting ready to release this. 9/11 happened, and it was suppressed, and I couldn't find any reference anywhere except the slides that I had on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was released, and some of these slides are now available.
Mm-hmm.
So what I am saying is this shows a premeditation in my mind. So dark. This is the original slide set. This was prepared by the government. Dark winter was an exercise designed to simulate possible U.S. reaction to a deliberate introduction of smallpox in three states during the winter of 2002. The difference being here that, and I'll move as quickly as I can, that smallpox is truly is a pandemic disease. According to, I'm sure, information you already have, a pandemic does not meet the criteria of a pandemic disease until it has a mortality rate of greater than 1% of the people who die represent 1% or greater than the population of the living nation that they're in. So smallpox has about a 33% fatality rate, extremely horrible disease, but they use smallpox to get the numbers up there. The exercise was sponsored by the McCormick Tribune, Oklahoma City National Memorial Institute, the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Look at the people that attended this. Johns Hopkins Center and Civil Biodefense Studies, the ANSWER Institute for Homeland Security, which converted to Homeland Security. The people who participated, I'm sure you'll recognize some of these. President Nunn, he was a senator at the time. Mm-hmm. National Security Advisor for the United States, David Gergen. The goals of the exercise, the winner that's setting up the next slide set. The president, Sam Nunn. The governor of Oklahoma, the National Security Advisor for the United States, the CIA director, the Secretary of Defense, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the Secretary of State, the Secretary of Human Services, the Attorney General of the United States, the Director of FEMA, and the Director of the FBI. They all participated in this. Sometimes I read the stuff that we did and it just angers me. Members of the press, they brought in Jim Michaluski, Mary Walsh, Lester Rheingold, Sean Edwards, and Judith Miller. They were all members of the press at that time, very prominent members of the press, and they helped create the videos and the slides and the communications concepts that they were introducing. Mm-hmm. Let me go back down there. The goals and objectives. It wasn't really a study. I keep alluding to that, so I'll try not to pontificate anymore. Mm-hmm. Was to consider the impact of a biological attack, examine state federal reaction to a crisis that is simultaneously local and national, evaluate life and death decisions in a resource constrained environment, address information management needs and role of the media, and handle ethical, political, cultural, operational, and legal challenge. That's the bottom line right there, as far as I'm concerned. What can they do with it? And they were trying to determine where they can go. Mm-hmm. So this slide is the prepared transcript for those media personnel to create the videos that they created as part of the presentation. Now, this program was supposed to last about 3 days. At the end of the 2 days, they basically said, okay, everybody agrees, this is what would happen. So they shut off the program and everybody went home. But this is the dialogue. They actually had prepared dialogue for the actors to play their roles. The National Security Council meeting to address, and listen to these parallels, tension in the Taiwan Straits. This is from 2001. Iraq deploying forces across the border in Kuwait. That's all already been done, but it's happening similarly again. The Secretary of Health and Human Services informs the president of a confirmed case of smallpox in Oklahoma City. Governor Keating does his thing. The National Security Council opens up a briefing situation. They are creating or following a dialogue and a plan here. And so the background information is what their scientists did. And I think some of it's a little exaggerated, but a lot of it is not, considering that this is smallpox, and smallpox is extraordinarily heinous compared to coronavirus. Mm. On December 9th, 24 patients reported in Oklahoma City hospitals. Rumors quickly circulate that they are suffering smallpox. CDC confirmed. So that's what would normally happen. They talk about smallpox, a 30% fatality rate. The Soviet Union had weaponized it. The vaccine is effective only before symptoms manifest itself. And they're setting the stage here a little bit more. And here's the scare factor. Remember, this is Hegelian dialectic. This is the Machiavellian theory. This is create fear, provide the solution, and take control. And so when you show people pictures like this, That's the result that you're going to have.
Yeah, and that is what's about to happen now, because that's what the government here in Germany is planning. And since this is a lockstep approach, it's going on everywhere. They want to create pictures that'll scare people even more than they're already scared.
Absolutely. They continue the Hegelian dialectic. Here's the monster, we're your savior. Mm-hmm. At this point, the United States had 12 million doses of vaccine. So we start out early in the presentation. Vaccine, vaccine, vaccine. And we know that smallpox is credibly affected by vaccinations. But when now we're talking about the ultimate tool. And what I've said to the researchers when I worked at Colorado State University, I showed them the slide set and they said, well, yeah, uh-huh. Something that I want to ask you to, with all your resources, to to confirm is that when I was with the Colorado State University, about 90% of all funding for that university came from research grants from the United States government. And it, almost all of the research development and the horrific amounts of millions and billions of dollars that were used to create research facilities in Boston, in Galveston, at Camp Perry, all over the world, came after 2001, after anthrax, after smallpox threats. Those monies were funded, and that's when the bio-warfare engine began to take place. And I'll throw out a number that I'll throw out again later.
Look at the parallels. Look at how these vaccines need to be used before symptoms are available on healthy humans, that is. Now we're talking about asymptomatic infections. Really strange. Assure indemnity for producers. Ha!
20 years ago. Absolutely. This has been a part of the agenda for the entire time.
Yeah.
This is a smoking gun of sorts. Let me go back to that. At the end of the slideshow, somewhere in my documentation, I've talked about where in the world, what societies study biosafety and bioweapons. And across the world, the number of laboratories that are biosafety level 4, are you familiar with the difference between a 3 and a 4?
Well, 4 is, of course, the safest, supposedly. This is where you can deal with the most difficult viruses. Right.
So those are the 8 big killers. Those are Ebola. Those are Marburg. Those are the anthrax. Those are the diseases that kill 80-90%. So those are the biggest ones. So in the world, the average is 2 to 3 biosafety level 3 facilities for each of the major nations, including Russia and China. In the United States, there are 1,400. In the United States, biosafety level 4, I'm sorry, in the world, in biosafety level 4, the Soviet Union and China, and there's one other country, and I'm losing it right now, have 2 or 3 biosafety level 4. The United States has 12. We lead the race in bioweapons study, and we fund it through our national defense program. So I'll go on. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this slide, they talk about the disease. How was it spread? Was it terrorism or war? You've heard these same dialogues early in 2020. Who controls the vaccines? What vaccine strategy should be implemented? How much vaccine should be reserved for the military personnel and so on? They were thinking in a fairly small microcosm, and what they've done now is they've taken and had 4 major for-profit corporations who are creating all kinds of DNA modification injections that are not true vaccines. They can't be. They haven't been tested. They haven't been proven. They have no efficacy. And to my knowledge, they haven't even proven that COVID-19 is a unique disease. But nonetheless, you have 4 different companies creating 4 different types of injections, all with different contents and with different purposes. Mm-hmm. There's an agenda there that I can see.
Yeah.
More dialogue from the transcript. So this is laced throughout the entire presentation. Vaccine strategy day 1, president orders accelerated emergency production. So hello, Mr. Trump, Secretary of State, to determine the stocks are available in other countries. Russia, remember the dialogue we had with Russia? Initial supply issue, vaccinated ring of associates around initial victims. These are all different approaches that they talked about back then and they utilized during 2019 and 20. They're looking at 1.25 million and how many hundreds of millions have they created now? So here's the, this is 3 or 4 days into this is more of the scare factor. We now have 1,280 cases in Oklahoma. They're spread all over the United States. Air travel is the delivery system. Priority given to vaccinations and isolation, here we go again. Vaccine stocks, vastly inadequate, no immediate remedy, grossly inadequate situational awareness, And existing response plans, inadequate for biowarfare. This is allowing them to create that scenario like they're doing in Germany, like they're doing. I've got several friends that live in Australia that I fought with in Vietnam. They're still alive, I'm still alive. And the stories they're telling me are just absolutely frightening. Here's another dialogue for a video transcript. Moving down the line a few days, 2,000 infected in the US, 300 fatalities, medical system overwhelmed, schools closed, vaccine effectively gone. How widespread was the initial attack? It's more of the dialogue building the anxiety factor. Mm-hmm. Game participants now realize that current vaccine reserves cannot be contain the epidemic. National Security Council is divided. President Nunn decides to keep control through the governors. Mm-hmm. Hello, 2020.
Yeah.
This is more dialogue, and I highlighted this particular page because it says one of the reporters reports during her dialogue, on day 12 of the worst public health crisis in American history, demonstrations for more vaccine in hard-hit communities disintegrated into riots, looting around the nation. Interstate commerce has stopped several regions of the nation, national suspension of trading in American stock exchanges. That is really the type of dialogue that they want to create so they can control everything, being as generous as I can be.
It hasn't panned out that way yet. It's going in a different direction right now.
And the reason it hasn't, in my opinion, is they've used a coronavirus. Now, I've worked with the scientists on six different coronaviruses. Mm-hmm. A corona. They're all the same, except they have different morbidities with different peoples with different genetic backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And that's what they determined. They also determined that the best way to release any pandemic disease is through the influenza stream. And what they do is they simply take a modification to the DNA of that particular form of influenza. They modify it to gain the morbidity. They inject the bat disease or whatever infusion they want, and they spread that around with, they have controls for themselves. So in this one, episode 3 advances the scenario from the 6 days to 12 days into the crisis. In the past 48 hours, there are 14,000 cases, 1,000 dead, 5,000 more deaths over the next 2 weeks, 200 dead. You can see the escalation and the similarity, the parallels that we saw during Corona.
Yeah.
And this is just a visualization of that. This is a visualization of the way that smallpox would actually react. And smallpox is very similarly transmitted the same way. It's an aerosolized disease. It has to be person-to-person contact with aerosolized droplets. And that's how it passes around so quickly. It has almost the same incubation time. So they're using a disease that they knew the proximities of that disease to create this. Again, this is information that they had back then, and it's, it still stands the case of time, test of time. This is end of generation 3 and end of generation 4. You can see that it explodes to 3 million cases, a million dead. We haven't gotten to that yet, so they haven't had the disaster effect, but it goes to the social changes that you're about to see. And that's this page. All vaccinations are depleted. Forcible restrictions on citizens now unavoidable. Interstate commerce has collapsed. National Security Council discusses martial law.
Yeah, that's what.
And then it goes into lessons learned. Mm-hmm. So a biological warfare. This is the key part. This is how they created, in my opinion, the footprint or the primer. Mm-hmm. Or going forward in 2019, biological attack on America with contagious pathogen could potentially cripple the country. a local biological warfare attack quickly becomes a national attack, government responses will pose enormous challenges to civil liberties. Today, we are ill-equipped to provide dire consequences of biological. America lacks resources. Forcible constraints on citizens may likely be the only tools available. Whoop, I'm going too far.
What was the last one there? Forcible on that last slide.
Forcible constraints on citizens may likely be the only tools available when stock vaccine stocks are depleted. Mm-hmm. Now they're just forcing us all to get shots.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The government currently lacks adequate strategies. So this is that they've had 20 years to develop their strategies and their approach. And when you look at the history of Tony Fauci, now I've worked with Tony Fauci when I was building the facilities in Fort Collins. Mm-hmm. I worked with him and worked with the CDC and the NIH. And I can tell you, well, I don't want to tell you my opinion.
Well, I'm going to tell you what we heard from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Last week or the week before last week when we spoke to him about his new book. And I have read through that book, not every single page, but I have read some of it, most of it, actually. And from the facts that he's giving us there, the legal analysis can only be that this man is a total fraud.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I don't like to talk this way, but your classic definition of a Napoleonic personality, mm-hmm. he walks around, he struts, and he is the condescending, all-knowing. I spent 20 years in the Marine Corps. I've worked with all kinds of personalities. For 10 years, I was the International Trade and Customs Operations Manager for one of the largest corporations in the world. I've met people all over the world. I've been to 147 countries. I spent a lot of time in your neck of the woods. I've been to Heidelberg, Eitlingen, Bublingen, Berlin, all over Germany. I love Germany.
Mm-hmm.
I'm English. But I can tell you, he is one of those pathological men that scares my soul. Beyond that, let's go to the next slide. Lessons learned continued. State and federal relations will be greatly strained. Government lacks coherent decision-making processes and protocols. Substantial investments required in public health expertise, vaccine and drug stockpiles, research and development to rapid and effective disease control. And so that was the end of the lessons learned. I asked the question, what was the goal? Social control, Hegelian dialectic, Machiavellian concept, population control, i.e., are you familiar with the Georgia Guidestones?
Of course, yes.
Okay. Global climate control, one world government. So I'm going to just go right by those.
They had global climate control on their agenda?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. These are the Guidestones. Have you read these, I take it? Maintain humanity under 500 million. There's 7.8 billion on the earth. How are we going to get there?
Yeah.
Okay. Be not a cancer on the earth. Leave room for nature. That's population control.
Yeah.
Let me go right here.
Wow.
On September, recommended 3 jabs. So something that in your legal efforts, I'm sure you probably have some knowledge of already, but the Federal Select Agent Program is what you need to take a look at. A select agent, by definition, sounds rather insignificant, but a select agent is any agent, any disease that can be genetically modified to create a weapon of mass destruction. Mm-hmm. So when you talk to the bio researchers and bioweapons persons in the medical arena, a select agent, this is on the internet, you can Google it anywhere. It's a federal organization and it defines what a select agent is. And they have a list of the select agents and they are working, they have been working industriously to identify the diseases they can use to control populations. Bill Gates has been working on this, the federal government. There is nothing that's behind closed doors. This stuff is out there. All one has to do is look at it and understand it with a cogent, considered, and rational eye. The Ebola virus, Ebola came out of the Congo. It's a combination of a flu-type disease with Marburg. Are you familiar with Marburg?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a the same type of disease. It's a organ destroyer.
Mm-hmm. Deadly. Mm-hmm.
Hemorrhagic disease. Mm-hmm. And they combine those and they introduce it through monkeys. The Ebola virus actually came to the United States in the 1990s. And there was a book written, I think it was called, not Contagion, but Outbreak.
Outbreak.
And, yep. And that happened in New Jersey. They brought monkeys into the United States, put them in a research facility where they stored monkeys, and the disease mutated during the flight over or shortly after that. Otherwise, they put the diseased monkeys in a holding facility that was, you remember all over the United States, we had a corner mall. You'd have some shops on one side and some shops on the other. And this one, half of the shops was this research laboratory where they kept the diseased monkeys. The other side of that L-shaped building was a daycare in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
So divisions of select agents and toxin. A select agent are biologic agents and toxins that have been determined to have potential to pose a severe threat to public health and safety, to animal and plant health, or to animal plant products. There are 67 select agents that the United States and the world government at large have recognized. A select agent is any biological agent or toxin that can be manipulated through gain of function enhancements to research to be used as a weapon of mass destruction. That is not the definition that the government puts out. That's the definition of people who worked in those arenas. And then I just put in here, if you want me to send this whole thing, I'll find a way to put it on some type of a device to send it over to you, because this defines the biosafety level 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Mm-hmm.
These two pictures are, one is of the Wuhan Biological Laboratory in Wuhan, China. Mm-hmm. When this broke out, my son is a mechanical engineer. He designs optical systems for Burris Steiner Optics. So he comes to Germany all the time and works for Steiner Opticals. He designs rifle scopes and binoculars. He was in Wuhan when this outbreak came. He came home with the disease.
Ooh.
So this is the Wuhan, the one on the upper left is the Wuhan facility. The one in the bottom right is the facility that I helped build. Mm-hmm. There were three laboratories when I went in there. There are seven laboratories now. That's Colorado State University, and that is the location where chronic wasting was created. So straight down there from, if you look at the top of the picture, that's where the Colorado State University football field is.
Mm.
We already talked about the difference. A biosafety level 3 is on the left, where it's certain types of biological containment and clothing. The other side is the monkey suits, the oxygenated suits, and that's where the extremely fatal diseases are. All of them can be manipulated. So I just repeated this slide to see a little bit better picture. If you see this building, the building down the bottom left, it says GMP. That's where the federal government contributed about $27 million to create a manufacturing plant for pharmaceuticals to be able to fight off the diseases that CSU was creating. As of the time when I left there, that building had not been occupied. They never brought a company in to do that. So, and these are a little bit scary. There are some pictures I can't show you, but In the bottom left-hand corner, you'll see a red arrow that says the Regional Biological, and I spelled it wrong, Laboratory, Birthplace of Chronic Wasting. They had brought in mule deer there, and they were studying what would happen if they would take all of the components, all of the leftover materials from every harvested sheep, cow, any food-based protein animal, and they would grind it all up, including the brains, and they would feed that back to livestock as a feed additive. And they found out that there were certain prions in the mammalian brain that caused what was now is now called chronic wasting. And that facility, there were 24 deer being studied that had the chronic wasting, and a doctoral student, who I know, left the door open and those deer escaped. And that's where chronic wasting was created. It gives information about prions and how that happened. And this slide just shows that they were using mule deer back then. They now use monk jack deer. I don't know if you've ever heard of a monk jack, but they call it a barking deer. It's about the size of a beagle dog. Mm. It has canines that look like a vampire. It barks like a dog does, but the females are almost never not pregnant. They get pregnant every 7 months and they create a new source of animals for research. Mm. And if you see the vehicles in the upper left and the lower right corner, I became concerned at a certain point that we did not have proper constraints on the facility. So we requested that we do a emergency study on what would happen if we had a disenchanted employee or worker in the biosafety level 3 that wanted to get a disease out. And we said, okay, what do we do? What's the protocol? So we got on the phone one day and we got the dean of research to agree, and we called the FBI, the local sheriffs and police departments, and we said, we have a disease that has escaped. We need help now. It took 24 hours to get the U.S. Army in there to set up these things, 24 hours after whoever would have taken the disease out was gone. There are no real constraints to stopping disease from getting out of these facilities. Everybody is background checked. I have about 15 different FBI background checks because we had to get that FBI, but that doesn't mean anything. Anybody can get an FBI check and go a little crazy as it goes further on. Spike proteins. Let's see. I think I'm about right here. Let's see. That's Charlie Ward. And that's Dark Winter, sir.
Wow. So that was almost like, I always used to think that the actual dress rehearsal for what we're experiencing right now was Event 201, but I guess it was this one, Dark Winter.
And Dark Winter was the predecessor to 201. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. They refined it. In my opinion, the only functional purpose of sharing this with people is to show that this has been in their operational plan since before 9/11.
But something must have gone wrong because people are not panicking, at least not in the United States, because they're not getting the vaccines. They're panicking because of the vaccines.
Exactly.
The U.S. is much more divided than most of the other countries. I think you're probably split in half. 50%, most of them Republicans, believe there's something terribly wrong. And the other 50%, most of them probably Democrats, believe that they have reason to panic. But even they are beginning to ask questions, more and more of them.
There are too many anecdotal examples of people becoming ill, sick, and dying.
Yeah.
After having those, I have a huge customer base. I work with people every day, and I live in. Here's a strange truth. I was born in Goodland, Kansas. Mm-hmm. I live in Loveland, Colorado. I don't know how God did that, but I have people come in. And I would say 80 to 90% of my customers are adamant and refuse to wear masks, to to take the inoculations. They recognize the intrinsic threat, and the threat is just as much psychologically implied by the character of a government who will try to force you to do something to your body that is against your will.
Yeah.
As it is the other indicators. But I had one of my customers here about 3 weeks ago. he was a triathlete. He went all over the world. He was 60 years old, triathlete. He ran, he bicycled, he swam in you know, maybe 2 or 3% body fat. And he was a 747 pilot. Took his inoculation, and 2 days later he was dead. He had a massive blood clots that had killed him. So that is not just one off. I'm hearing it over and over again, and people are refusing. Now, one thing that I will tell you, that when I managed those facilities for Colorado State University and the CDC, I had a standing rule that you could not wear a face mask. You could not be in the biosafety level operating field for more than 3 to 5 hours a day because of the restrictive capacity of wearing. Do you know what a PAPR is? The headgear with a HEPA filter. They were wearing PAPRs. They were wearing N95s on their face masks, for their face masks. It causes, we had done studies that prove it causes extreme fatigue of your respiratory system. You're exhaling your exhaust. It's coming back into your eyes directly with a nerve route into your brain. It causes greater anxiety. It causes visual strain. The act of wearing a mask, and then in the public, people walk around, they wear a mask for 8 hours a day. They go out and get in their car. They take their mask off and grab it by their face and put it on the dash of their car, or put it on the counter before they cook supper at night. Insanity. Everything that the government is asking to do has no logic. But I do see the plan, the program, and the agenda of what has happened. And I will just allude to one further thing that is not even germane. But in 1968, I was a 19-year-old Marine in Vietnam, and we were told that there was not going to be any fighting that night because they had struck a ceasefire with the North Vietnamese and the Viet Cong on Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. I was at a small village called An Loc, and there were 10 Marines and about 200 Arvins, South Vietnamese Army forces, and Montagnards for the Northern Highland people. And we were doing what's called a civic action program. We were teaching people how to irrigate and how to take care of themselves from a health standpoint, that sort of thing. It was hearts and minds kinds of stuff. And we were told there was not going to be any fighting that night. By 11 o'clock, we were being probed. By midnight, we were fully engaged in a raging battle. By 4 o'clock the next morning, our position had been overrun. They brought in bulldozers. They buried over 3,000 dead in slit trenches. Every Marine and almost everybody that was in that small village was wounded or dead. And on Armed Forces Radio the next morning, they told the American people there was no fighting in Vietnam last night.
What?
From that point on, I stayed another 18 years in the Marine Corps, but I stayed because I wanted to train young Marines. But that's the truth. That's what they did over there.
Even in 1968.
Yep, absolutely. They've been lying to us forever. Yeah, and this was a mistake. This the next little quick tidbit was a mistake. I was wounded at a place called Kaysan. I got shot in the leg, and they put me on the hospital ship Hope. The round went through my leg. It didn't fracture the bone, so they put me in a walking cast. And this was during the Tet Offensive in 1968. I don't know if you remember that part of history or not. Mm-hmm. And so the Marine Corps was extremely short of people. The battle at Kaysan caused horrific numbers of casualties. So I came out of the hospital. I was on with a walking cast on. They sent me over from the 3rd Marines to the 1st Marines, and the 1st Marines were going into the Battle of Hue City, which was the biggest conventional in city fighting in Vietnam. And they assigned me to 1st Marines and with a casual unit. All the guys in my platoon were wounded, but they sent us back out in the field anyway. And so we went through that battle, and I got an infection from the wound I got. They put me on the hospital ship Hope. The kid in the bed next to me, there were casual, the hospital ship, literally, as you walked around the deck, there were bodies everywhere. There, you walked over both dead and live bodies. And so it was a horrific situation. But the kid in the bed next to me died. I was down getting my leg treated, and they picked up, they put a body bag on my bunk, picked up his body, put it in the body bag, and accidentally grabbed my medical records and shipped his home, his body, to my family back in Iowa.
Oh.
And they buried him. And it took me 5 months to realize that my family thought I was dead. So the government, love them or like them, I don't trust them. So I don't know if this presentation is anything you can use, but I wanted to share the content and the concept and any way I can to help you with your efforts.
I think it's extremely important that people understand that this is nothing about health, but rather this is a long planned agenda that has been being rolled out right now. And it's
absolutely
a good thing that we can see all these parallels now. It's also a good thing that we can see that if that is their plan, then it doesn't really work. So too many of us must have woken up. I mean, people like you, out of that experience, which you just described to us, must have been awoke for quite a while. You probably never believed 9/11 either, did you?
Well, I'm an engineer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when I see a building collapse straight down, building there has never been before, and there has never been after, another building catch fire that has a steel structure that was protected by asbestos foam that would collapse straight down. In my opinion, it's a mechanical impossibility for those buildings to have failed the way they said they did. So absolutely, I don't believe it.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's extremely important to let as many people as possible know about all of these facts. Most of these facts have been buried, even Dark Winter. I mean, well, you're saying it was literally deleted. You couldn't find anything except your own slides, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. So it's a good thing it's out there again, because it describes almost exactly what was supposed to happen. However, it didn't quite happen that way.
Can I ask you, would you think that all these virus diseases that we saw, Zika and Marburg and all these, do you think they might have all like a manufactured background?
I worked with some of the scientists that worked on the outbreak study from New Jersey in the 90s, and they convinced me that Ebola is a disease that was created identically to the way they created AIDS. Mm-hmm. And it was introduced in the black population of Africa as a genocidal disease and people killer.
So because Marburg, the Marburg virus is very similar. So that maybe is also like a
Marburg literally is the parent disease of Ebola.
Mm-hmm.
There, you know, there's other diseases out there. There's a disease called Burkholderia. And it's traditionally a bovine disease. It kills cattle, and it's in the earth everywhere, but it has no means to transport itself into people. It's a respiratory disease. The cattle eat the grass that have the Burkholderia, and it's 100% fatal to them. It'd be 100% fatal to a human. If they were to combine Burkholderia with the influenza transport tool, they could wipe out the population of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the type of science, and that's the type of thing that I perceive that Anthony Fauci and the people at the CDC are capable of doing. I'm 73, and I don't like to be as bitter as I am, but after what we've all seen and the irrationality, the illegality, the immorality of what's happening in this country, nothing makes any sense anymore. Let me see if I can. I'm gonna take this. Let me see if I can make this work.
Yeah. Well, you know, it does make sense. If the bottom line really is population control, which is really genocide, then it makes sense.
Have you seen the video of Bill Gates talking to the CIA?
Yeah, he looks like someone who is completely deranged.
Yeah. And he's talking about creating a virus that affects your ability to think about whether you believe in God or whether you don't care about God. And that's the kind of thing that scares me to death. And he has that pathology and he has the money to do it. So we'll see. What have I done here?
At this point, it is.
Did I lose you guys?
No, I can hear you.
Okay.
Can you hear us?
Yeah.
At this point, it seems that the vaccine is not so well accepted. Like for instance, in developing countries, they have more doubts about their governments as people in the Western world do, or like previous, the people who are still believing in the government. So you think this could have been also an idea that this would happen, or is this just not is this not going according to plan, or do you think they would adapt it to also attack these peoples as well later on?
Oh, it is very definitely not going to plan, because look at the energy, the money, the time that they're using to promulgate the lie through the modern media in every country. The duress that they're putting on their populations, the threats. In Australia, they took thousands of kids into a soccer stadium and forced inoculation on them. They are acting in absolute fear, because once this is exposed and the people are compelled to act, it's going to blow back on them. At least that's my prayer.
Yeah.
My rational thought is, or my thought is very simply, that in the human experiment, and I'm sure you'll both agree, people are reluctant to accept and recognize the evil of other people. But once they see what's going on, once they recognize their truth, there's a certain part of the survival capability of mankind that says, oh, that's wrong. I have to act and I have to respond. They are compelled to do something. I'm only hoping that more than 50% of the people of the world are willing to do something. I've got friends all over the world, and I hear from them all the time, and they're all telling me that they're taking ivermectin. You try to buy some ivermectin right now, you can't get a hold of it because it's just being consumed. I personally I am your classic, your fatal potential for COVID. I've had cancer. I had Agent Orange cancer. I had double pneumonia a few years ago. I was in a car accident about 6 years ago, and it broke my leg in two places, broke my hip. All my ribs were broken. My collarbone came out through my neck. My neck was broken. I had a concussion. I was hospitalized and had 9 surgeries. I've had a heart attack. I'm the kind of guy that Corona usually kills. I've had people all around me that have had the coronavirus, and I've not gotten it, but I take ivermectin every month, and I take vitamin D3 and C and zinc. I don't take erythromycin because you don't want to take antibiotics, but there are things you can do to help keep yourself less prone to it. But if there was some way to totally refute the whole allegation of the reality of this disease. But every time you turn on the television, they're telling you to go get the shot. And the governor of the state of Colorado has made people like me evil. They're saying here that if you are an anti-vaxxer and if you don't take the virus and you go to the hospital, you can't be treated.
Yeah, because same thing's happening here. As this is a lockstep approach, it's happening everywhere, except they cannot push this through in some places. In my view, it looks as though those areas of the world that are the hardest hit areas are those that belong to the Commonwealth. It's Great Britain, it's Canada, mm-hmm. it's Australia. However, the Vatican plays a certain role in this as well. Even the Pope has called for people to get vaccinated. He also called for people to give up their sovereignty and have a world government that, under the United Nations, rule everybody. So okay. That makes me very suspicious.
Well, that's the final agenda. They want a one world government. Mm-hmm. They want, that's what the Georgia Guidestones is all about. One mm-hmm. world court, one world government, and they want you to be willing to give up your life mm-hmm. for the sake of society.
Yeah. For the sake of them, because yeah, they're the ones who are going to take over. It looks, if you look at the Great Reset, one of the things that it spells out is that everybody has to give up their property by 2030, and they'll be happy not owning anything. The big question is, who is going to own it then?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So if you're not completely insane, you must ask yourself some questions. One question, the one that we started the Corona Committee with, is how dangerous is the virus? Well, in the meantime, we know it's no more dangerous than the common flu at 0.14, 0.15 infection fatality rate. We also know that there are alternative methods of treatment. Ivermectin, you mentioned one of them, ivermectin or zinc or vitamin D or vitamin C. So that is a lie that is easily exposed. This is no more dangerous than the common flu. Why then all these measures? Why are they forcing people to get vaccinated? They never did that before, not with the flu. And the next question then is, if it were true that people have to get vaccinated, we know it's not true because this is no more dangerous than the common flu, but if it were true, then why do the people who have gotten vaccinated, why are they still scared? They shouldn't be scared of all the unvaccinated because now they should be immune from the disease. So does the vaccine, the so-called vaccine, does it not work? And the third question, of course, is what is this really about? It's not about health. That's obvious. So you're right. This boils down to population control. It boils down to genocide. You have to call a spade. Sooner or later, you have to.
And if you look at the entire ecosphere of the human experiment with the effect of what this disease and this political agenda has done, the economies of the world are in trash. The supply system for the world is in trash. People are committing suicide in greater numbers than ever in history. Yeah. The health of the people of the world is in jeopardy. Because of what they're doing, every point you just made is absolutely astute and correct. It's let me see. Can you see my screen at all right now?
Yeah, we can.
Can
see
you
it.
See a slideshow? You're just seeing the slideshow. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can.
I think maybe you have to close it and then you have to go onto the internet or whatever you would like to show us.
Yeah, I've got the. The piece where Biden is talking about dark winter, I finally got mm-hmm. pulled. Mm-hmm. Let me see how I get back there.
I think maybe you have to hit that button share because that stops the whole thing, the screen share, and then you can start.
Can you see that?
Nope.
Not yet.
Okay, that stopped the screen share. Now, yeah, there it is.
New from Star Wars The Mandalorian, it's Galactic Snack and Grub.
Excuse the commercials.
Mm-hmm. And into your house. Hold on to your snacks if you can. From Star Wars The Mandalorian, it's Galactic Snack and Grub.
Vice President Biden, your reaction, and just 40% of Americans say they would definitely agree to take a coronavirus vaccine if it was approved by the government. What steps would you take to give Americans confidence in a vaccine if it were approved?
Make sure it's totally transparent. Have the scientists of the world see it, know it, look at it, go through all the processes. And by the way, this is the same fellow who told you this is going to end by Easter last time. This is the same fellow who told you that, don't worry, we're going to end this by the summer. We're about to go into a dark winter, and he has no clear plan, and there's no prospect that there's going to be a vaccine available for the majority of the American people before the middle of next year.
President Trump, your reaction, he says you have no plan.
I don't have a dark winter at all. We're opening up our country. We've learned and studied and understand the disease, which we didn't at the beginning. When I closed and banned China from coming in heavily infected and then ultimately Europe, but China was in January. Months later, he was saying I was xenophobic. I did it too soon. Now he's saying, oh, I should have, you know, moved quicker. But he didn't move quicker. He was months.
So that's dark winter. That's him talking about dark winter.
It's right there.
Irrefutable. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that, I was watching the show and I went, oh my gosh, they knew.
Yeah. Yeah.
And do you know there's a who writes the immediate script kind of? I've been wondering this for a long time. Do you think it's like a PR agency like Edelman or whatever, you know, and then it's maybe rolled out to the various countries with a little bit of adaption? You know, taking care of the like national specialties, or is
well, and clearly you're absolutely correct. I don't know what it's like in Europe, but if you watch television news at 6 o'clock, you will hear the same dialogue from every station on that topic. They will have exactly the same words. Who writes that? And who creates that agenda? Mm-hmm. There are only four or five major news production companies in the world, and they are in control, and they are globalists.
Mm-hmm.
This any fool can recognize when that plan is orchestrated across the board, across the entire earth.
Yeah.
Never in the history of mankind has this precedent been set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we are facing a horrific opponent, and the only way I could visualize Renner is how to fight that is on the local level. The people of Germany have to stand up. The people of the United States have to stand up. I think you're right. It's closer to a 50-50 than it is anything else, but people are afraid to act. I own a small business. The county health department tried to shut me down because I refused to try to make people wear masks. And then they came in, they said, we're going to close you down. And the guy started posting a closing notice on my door, and I took it off and I ripped it up and I said, come with guns. Because I'm not shutting my doors. Take my license. Come with guns. And he said, well, who are you? And I walked him into the office. I showed him a helmet that I wore in Vietnam and had a bullet hole in it. I said, I got shot in the head in Vietnam. You're going to have to do that before I'll tell people they have to do something that I am intellectually, emotionally, and morally compelled to say no to.
Yeah.
And they haven't come back, but just not long ago, the county that we're in, it's called Larimer County. They tried to put out a program where they were trying to get the businesses to tell people if they couldn't prove that they had the inoculation, they couldn't come in. If my employees didn't have the inoculation, they couldn't come in. And I said no. And I said, we'll see you in court, but I'm not shutting my door. And the secret to that I'm not telling you that most people don't have is in the United States, the county sheriff is the penultimate authority for law enforcement in the county.
Mm-hmm.
So I live in Weld County. My business is in Larimer County. And both of those sheriffs have said, we're not going to enforce any of those rules.
Great. Great. So there's still a few good men out there. And you know what? This whole plandemic completely changed my view of the Second Amendment. I used to be in favor of gun control, but now I realize why it's there. It's there for the people to protect themselves against their own government if it ever comes to that. Because that's where it all started. And it makes perfect sense now.
Absolutely. Well, and you already understand some degree of my passion about that. I have fought in Asia. I fought in Central America. I fought in a very short battle in Grenada. And I've been all over the world, and I've seen what governments do to people. And I will never lay down my weapons. I will never willingly harm another human being if I don't have to, but they will not take my freedom.
And that makes perfect sense.
We must be really careful, because at the moment I feel that, you know, there's a lot of provocation going on. So we really have the feeling that maybe they're also pushing the limits of, you know, what they can push people to do. So maybe they want us to get really angry, you know, so in order to start some sort of revolution. And at least in Germany, we don't, or in Europe, we don't have any guns. And at least, I mean, also in America, you don't have any huge guns or like huge bombs or anything. So I think if it really came to some sort of really violent confrontation, the chances of the population would not be very good. You know, so I think one has to be really, I think we must aim for a peaceful way to overthrow the whole thing and stop.
And I absolutely agree. The worst thing that we could have is armed revolution. But in the history of mankind,
there have been, I know.
There are times when only fire changes the temper of the metal. And I will say this, at one point, Biden made the remark that who do the American people think they are that they would be willing to oppose the federal government? We've got the American military. My daughter is a major in the Army. She's not going to order her people to go against me, number one. Number two, the population of the United States is about 338 million people. In the last 10 years, there have been over 1 billion guns sold. That's quite a few guns per person. The hardest thing we can have right now is finding ammunition. If you took all of the U.S. military, the Army, the Navy, the Marine Corps, the Coast Guard, the Air Force, and all of the police officers and all of the sheriff's departments in the entire United States, it would be about 2 million people. More than half of those believe what we believe. There's no way that the United States federal government is ever going to be foolish enough to try to send our own people against us. And if they do, consider this. We fought for 10 years in Vietnam against the people who ran around with automobile tires for shoes. They would go into battle with an AK-47 and one or two magazines of ammunition. We fought in the most archaic, ancient population in the current history of the world in Afghanistan, and we were soundly defeated. Do they really think that they can stop the American people if we decide to stand up? There's no way.
No way. No way. It's really important for the people to understand that we are the people. We have the power, not them. I know, of course, here in Germany, it's a little bit different because I would say that maybe 20 or 30% of the population is on our side, but 70% are probably on the other side. We're not quite sure how firm they are on the other side. There's a professor of psychology from Belgium who explained to us that about 30% of the people who seem to be in line with the government are really in line with the government. They are hypnotized. This is mass hypnosis. But another 40% is kind of sitting on the fence, and they don't know which way to get off the fence, in our direction or in their direction. And that is different. In the U.S., you're probably right. It's about 50. I think it's more than 50% who are on our side. But even here, because of all the adverse effects of the so-called vaccines, those 40% that are still approachable, that you can still talk to, are beginning to ask questions. And that's what's making the other side panic, really panic.
Knowledge is their enemy. Knowledge is our ally.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I'm going to just do this real quickly. Oh, did I lose you?
No. We're still here.
Okay, I got you.
Do you know any details about these Georgia Guidestones? Because I've heard...
Let him explain what he's trying to explain to us.
Okay.
Do you see that case right there?
Yeah.
And you see...
Yeah.
That case right there?
Yeah.
I'm 73 years old. I'm in ill health. And all of my neighbors have as many guns as I do. And those two cases have 80 guns in them and over 100,000 rounds of ammunition. So I don't want to fight. I'm too old for this. But it may come to that. I pray to God it does not. But you were asking the question and I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
No, it's a different story. It's a different topic. I just was wondering if you have any more details about this Georgia Guidestones, because I've heard this mentioned often times, and I only heard that no one really knows who put this stone there, and it has these, you know, this population reduction ideas of, like, I think 500 million people. And but who came up with this idea or these lines of?
They have gone back and they found several different funding sources, but one of the funding sources was through an organization that was related to Bill Gates. So Bill Gates is intrinsically involved in all of this. He is an evil, evil man, but they do have the background on it. They had the, have done some research. So if you go into a couple of different sites, do not trust white Wikipedia, because the people who run Wikipedia are socialists.
Yeah.
But there are some other sites you can actually use some research. But Bill Gates was initially involved in the funding for it.
Mm-hmm.
It just popped up out of nowhere. So here's, think about it. There are 10 commandments on that, and we have 10 commandments in our Christian Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones on the Guidestones make no sense at all.
No, they don't. Well, I think this is really important. I know that most of our viewers will be really excited, because this is another big piece of the puzzle that we need to put together to see the whole picture. The picture is becoming clearer and clearer. This is a long-planned agenda, and it's evil. We do have to understand, this is a big step to take. We have to understand that this is not just terrible mistakes that are being committed or made by our governments. First of all, they're not our governments anymore. But these are intentional evil deeds. This is not about health. It's about life and death.
Clearly, they are willing to kill us
to
change our minds. And that's what they're trying to do. And they're destroying our financial wherewithal. As long as a population has the means to live a relatively normal life and they are no longer uncomfortable, they are not willing to change. It's only when people feel pressure and heat that they change and they take any type of action. And we're getting to that threshold. And Reimer, just like you said, they're afraid of which way the people will go when they have to cross that threshold. And the people are getting angry. There's the political correctness across this world is nothing short of the values of the socialist communist agenda by Stalin, by Marx. It's Marxism. It's Marxism in its worst form. But if you look at the definitions of social communism, and you compare that to the way we're running the United States right now, and Germany and England both have followed the Rhodes agenda. This all came out of Rhodes. Mm. So we have to stand the fight.
We will. We will. Jim, thank you very much for taking this time and explaining these things to us. I know that people will be, I shouldn't say delighted, that's the wrong word, but they will definitely be very, very interested in filling in the blanks, so to speak.
Well, all I can say is with 201 and Dark Winter, there is a continuum here.
Yeah.
There's an agenda that you can follow. So.
Yeah. I used to think it was 10 years in the planning. No, it's 20. Probably longer.
Absolutely longer.
But we will not cave in. We will not give in. We will stand tall and they will lose. There's no other way.
All it takes for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing.
And we will do something.
Is there anything I can do to help you in your program? Just let me know.
We'll be in touch, Jim. I think we're going to need some more talks.
All right. God bless you all.
Yeah, you
Thanks
too.
Thanks so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.